Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true transparency pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Justify wins the Triple Crown. His trainer, Bob Baffert, with us now. Bob, thank you very much for the time, sir. How are you?
Oh, fine, thank you.
Good.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. I've heard that you have Middle Tennessee ties.
I am Middle Tennessee. My wife is from Centerville, and they all went to Middle Tennessee, and my brother-in-law, Brian Buttrey, who's a big fan of yours, and one of your loyal listeners, he's always raving about you guys. So he said, you got to make sure you call my buddies.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, we appreciate it. Yeah, he does call and speaks very highly of you. So we're definitely very happy with the connection. So you get to Nashville a lot?
We try to get there. We go for different holidays and, sometimes July 4th or
yeah,
we'll go Thanksgiving, whatever. But I try to get in there. It's so beautiful and just you get away from all the concrete. My son, Bodie, who's 13, when he was little, he always said, I like Tennessee better. Why is that? Because you see trees. So, so it's so beautiful.
Have you come down off the Triple Crown high yet?
Well, we're just sort of, pretty exhausted. I've lost my voice there for a few days, and just you talk so much, and, you're trying, doing, it's fun, but it can be very stressful, and, at the end of the day, the horse, showed up and ran well. And that's all you can have as a trainer. Until his gates come open, you're just on pins and needles. We were on pins and needles for the last 3 months with this horse because he just came around so quickly.
Bob Baffert with us, best horse trainer ever is what I'll tag his title as. What were you thinking as you saw Justify running down the stretch?
Well, when he was, I was watching the fraction. I was watching with my wife, and I usually tell her, how we're doing. In the first quarter, they went a little fast.
Yeah.
He was being pressed. He was actually being pressed by my other horse. I had a long shot horse in there that was pretty fast, too. And they were going fast, and then they relaxed, and they settled. And then the second half, the time came up. He slowed him down to 48 and change, which was good. It's still... I was looking for 49, and then when they hit the three-quarter pole, I was telling her, if we can have 113 and change, we're okay, because American Pharoah track was really deep, so they went three-quarters of a mile in 113 and one. Pharoah did it in 113 and three or four, which was, four or five lanes slower, which is easier for them, and, but when I saw that, I told my wife, Justin, you know what? If he's a great horse, it's doable from there, And so, and then turning for home there, I could tell that Mike Smith was just sitting on him. He wasn't asking him yet. And I talked to him the day before. I said, man, I hope when you turn for home, you're just sitting like a statue on him and don't have to ask him yet, because that's going to be a good sign that you have plenty left in the tank. And so, when he got to about the eighth pole, I saw that Gronk was trying to make a run, but you can tell they weren't going to get to him, and he was pretty well in cruise control from then on.
Bob, you mentioned your long shot horse, 37-1, Restoring Hope, and there's been accusations of blocking for Justify. What's your response to that?
Yeah, you know what? It sort of came out of left field. He's a horse that. We were taking a chance to run him. The owner wanted to, see if he could run him in there. But he has speed. And the last time we took a hold of him, he got beat 24 lanes going a mile. And it was not, he wants to be let run. So in the Belmont, you have a short run to the first turn. So horses that run well at Belmont are horses, they don't really come from way off the pace. Like a Gronk, it's very, because they're going fast. But he needs to be out there in the clear. So the plan was to, you know, justify it in the one hole. So we had to, you know, send him away from there hard. And, you know, we sent them both away from there because I wanted to be 1-2 with them going around the first turn.
Yeah.
And so, and what happened is that, Restoring Hope, he broke well, but everybody was trying to get that spot. So everybody was rushing because to be forwardly placed, because that's the place one to be going a mile and a half. So, Florent said when he did that, he got him running, but then, he started getting, once he had him in there, he got really tough, like rank, we call it. And he was trying to run off. So what he said he did is he got him away from Justify a little bit on the turn, a little wide, just to get, you know, it gets him away from the action, he said. And then after that, then he settled and he came right back. And then, but there was, he never got near anybody. I don't know where that came from.
Well, I mean, my question to that, and I don't know horse racing very well. I enjoy watching and certainly cheer for the story doing what we do. So we want Triple Crown winners, especially when a trainer goes for his second one, which has only been done one other time. Huge story. But to me, like, you know, we were talking about in NASCAR and things like that. I mean, you do that in racing. Like, so is that considered to be a no-no? I mean, even if that were the goal?
No, but it wasn't even. I don't know why that one owner was complaining about it, but.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
But it didn't bother his horses. He didn't impede anybody. It was like, it was, when I heard about it the next day, I go, what is going on here? But it's, you know, you get frustrated. You know, sometimes you get beat, you get frustrated, you might say things, and if somebody hears you, you know, they print it or whatever.
So it turns really into a careful thing. Yeah,
and I think that's what it was. It was just frustration. You're talking, and you're frustrated, and you know. So, I know I've said things years ago that when I said it, it felt good, and then when I'd read it the next day, I go, "Why did I say that?" You know,
like,
we do that every day, Bob.
Every single day.
Yes.
Yeah, I get home, my wife's like, "Why did you say that?" I'm like, "I don't even remember saying that."
Exactly. I didn't say it. They took me out of text.
Yeah.
You know, right? So, that's our only defense. But you know that. You know what? It's a heat of the battle. It's very emotional, and we're very competitive. All the owners are really competitive, and the guys are really competitive. He's got a strong personality. He was just, you know, he was just frustrated. But
the great Bob Baffert, our guest here on 3HL. You personally had a huge health scare a few years ago. How much did that change your perspective on life, on racing, on your family, on everything?
It's almost like I got a free spin in life. You know, I was, and thanks to my wife, Jill, that she really, I was in Dubai in 2012. We just landed there to run a horse and didn't feel good. And I thought I had indigestion. So she gave me the Tennessee treatment. Just get a Coke or Pepsi and just drink it really fast, and that'll get rid of your, I thought I had a little indigestion or something. And so, so I did that. I sort of felt better, but then later on that night, it was still bothering me. And then in the morning I woke up, my chest was still hurting me, and I thought it was indigestion, but you know, she got on WebMD and she said, you know what? I think you're having a heart attack. So, sure enough, all the symptoms were there. I didn't realize that my left arm was really hurting me. And so, well, luckily we got there and there was a hospital there and they really took good care of me. So they put, I had 100% blockage, had the Widowmaker I had this really good doctor. He was he went to school in Dubai, but he practices heart medicine in England for the best guy. I'll never forget my wife Jill asked him, where did you learn with, you know? And I said, from this guy, the best heart doctor in England. Oh, really? What's his name? Well, he's dead now. What did he die of? He died of a heart attack, you know? So it was like, but if they, you know, they put three stents in me, and I've been great. You know, I just, you know, try to watch, you know, keep my weight. I just try to keep my weight light and, you know, don't get too heavy and just don't eat too excessively.
What does the daily life of a Kentucky Derby winning horse look like after his career finishes? I would imagine it's a lot of romance.
His life, when he leaves the track, is going to be a lot of romance involved. And just like American Pharoah, you know, they just, they really have the life. I mean, they really get rewarded, you know, when they're really good horses. And so, it's, you know, this horse has been so great to us, and I've been so fortunate to have, you know, it's a privilege to have a horse like that. And the thing is, he came in late. I had a horse called McKenzie who I really thought was going to be a Kentucky Derby winner, and he got injured, and he was the leader of the pack. He was the number one horse in the nation, and he got hurt, and this guy came along. So it was like, it was almost like the Alabama quarterback taking over in the second half. You know, it's like, yeah. He just came, he was like a walk-on, and he just ran off six races right in a, which is unheard of what he did. And he's just starting to get good now. You know, he's really, it was funny that, you know, when he went to the Derby, they say he couldn't win because he didn't have enough seasoning. And when I got to the Belmont, they said, well, he can't win because he's been running too much. So I said, you guys got to make up your mind, you know, seasoning or whatever. But at the end of the day, you know, you want LeBron James coming off vacation, or somebody that's been playing every day. You know, you still need that good heart.
You won your, I think this is right, your first race as a thoroughbred trainer in 1979. Now you're where you are. How have things changed? How have you trained horses differently? What have you learned? What is different from back then to today now when you now have a second career Triple Crown?
Well, you know what? I actually, I won my first race as a licensed trainer in 1971. And then I was off and on, but probably in 78, that's when I started, you know, training quarter horses, and then I switched to thoroughbred, like in 1990, like that, or whatever. But I trained just a few of those thoroughbreds. I really love quarter horses, but you know what? I think we learn from these good horses. You learn, you take away. They're, you know, they teach you. The good ones will really teach you a lot. You know, just how to, you know, manage them. And in thoroughbred racing, there's so much more involved than quarter horses. Quarter horses, it's a control runaway. They just go fast, 300 yards, 350, 400, just like a bullet away from there. Where thoroughbreds, there's a lot of, you know, you have to figure out how far you're going to run them. You can run a mile, run them sprinting, short, whatever. So there's so much involved. But, you know, I think I just get, you know, I'm a better trainer today than I was a year ago. You know, you just, you know, believe it or not, you know, and so I've been really fortunate to have these good horses, and you know, you learn something from these great athletes. I'm sure every coach can tell you when they have a great player, as long as I feel like if I get a good player, it's like a great coach, when you get good ones, you know what to do with them. And that's what you want to do. If you got a LeBron James, you better win a championship. Michael Jordan, whatever, those good ones, you know. So,
well, Bob, we appreciate the time. Let's do this. One time when you're in Nashville, we'd love to have you come sit an extended period of time in studio and get to know you better.
You know what? When I go there, they keep me captive there in Centerville, and they won't let me leave.
You know, I understand.
They do everything but just chain me to the sofa there, and so. But it's a lot of fun. When I go down there, I just love getting away in the country, and it's just so green and so beautiful, and it's just I just forget about my horses for a while, and just, you know, there's nothing like, I feel like Daniel Boone, you know. I just go out there and, you know, what it must have been like.
Well, Bob Baffert, our guest. Bob, thank you for the time. Congratulations on a second Triple Crown with Justify. Appreciate you.
Well, thanks for having me.